Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone. Touchdown. Punches to the end zone. Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to this week's Collegiately Speaking. Dave Enning with former Northwestern quarterback, Dan Persa. Some tough times for the Wildcats the last couple of weeks. Saturday, a 40-14 loss to the Iowa Hawkeyes out in Iowa City. We were sitting here a week ago, Dan, talking about the some great memories for Wildcats fans out in Iowa City. And for just a little while on Saturday, it looked like history might repeat itself. But then, man, just a nightmare of a third quarter, and the Hawkeyes ran away with it.
Yeah, like you said, it had kind of the recipe for an upset and a Northwestern win, a tight first half. But as you mentioned, the third quarter kind of got away from Northwestern. And as it typically happens, if there's a score on both sides of the half, it's tough to come back from a momentum standpoint. Seeing Brendan Sullivan in there didn't make it any easier on the Wildcat fans. But I think, you know, a really disappointing second half when you had every opportunity to win the game in the first half. So, you know, hopefully Northwestern continues to take the right steps and continues to improve. I think injuries are certainly holding them back at some positions. But at the same time, I think Jack Lausch has to, you know, continue to improve. I think he's taken two steps back in the last couple of weeks after having two really good outings against Indiana and Maryland. So, you know, hopefully he can improve against a pretty poor Purdue defense. But again, it's still a Big Ten game, and Northwestern has to take care of business.
We're going to visit with one of Jack's teammates. Tight end Thomas Gordon is going to join us today, and we'll also get to Super Joe's predictions. I don't think I've ever seen this. In the second quarter Saturday, in the Wildcats' first four possessions started from their own six, their own six, their own six, and their own five-yard line.
It's Iowa's game, right? Field position and make a team that has been, you know, struggling on offense drive the length of the field on you. And unfortunately, Jack took a pretty big safety from a momentum standpoint that really hurt Northwestern. But yeah, I mean, if you have a weapon at punter who can consistently bury teams, you know, behind the 10 and behind the 5, it makes it very challenging, right? And if you're always fighting out and trying to just get one first down, there's three or four drives where, you know, nothing happens. And I don't know that if that's the offense's fault. It's a tough position to be in, but someone has to make a play to get that first down and sustain a drive. Otherwise, you know, you're kind of stuck there. And that's what happened.
One of those drives actually did produce Northwestern's only touchdown because – Jack Lausch threw an interception from deep in their own end, and then the Hawkeyes are trying to get the ball in, and Cade McNamara gets picked off by Theron Johnson, who runs it back. Beautiful return, 85 yards for that touchdown. But two games in a row without an offensive touchdown for this team. I want to go back to the safety, because 2 weeks in a row, Northwestern's allowed a safety. This time, it appeared that Lausch realized he had to get out of the end zone, and maybe a split second quicker than he did a week earlier against Wisconsin. But then they went to the review and they ruled that it was a safety. What's going through your mind as a quarterback when you're operating in your own end zone and they're putting pressure on you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think you just have to have awareness that if you don't have your first read, right, you, especially if you're an athletic quarterback, you need to run. So if the first read's not there, put your foot in the ground and just make it your one goal to get out of the end zone, right? And I think Jack took, you know, the first read may or may not have been there, but he took two, three hitch steps, and it was too late by the time he realized it. So I think you just have to have a sense of urgency that if your first read's not there, you need to either bail out or run and get to the first or second yard line and preserve the drive, right? I still don't love the drop back pass in that position. I think the quick game's a little bit better. But again, he just has to have awareness, right? And the clock has to go off on his head that if he hits his back foot and that first read isn't there, you don't have time to go through your progression, especially against defenses like Wisconsin and Iowa. Just get out of the end zone.
Another game in which the defense gave him a chance, right? I mean, yeah. Held them even at halftime, even though things had sort of shifted back to Iowa, it's still a 5-point game. And then that fourth quarter, they just, the defense couldn't get off the field, and then they give up an 85-yard punt return, which just sort of rubs salt into the wound at that point.
Yeah, you can't really blame the defense, right? You know, they'll continue to say that it's compartmentalized and the defense does their thing and the offense does their thing. But if you're left out there for, you know, long periods of time and the offense continues to stall, it's kind of hard not to look over the opposite side of the bench and be like, guys, what's going on, or to not get tired. It's just the reality of the game that if you're out there 75% of the time, you're going to wear down. And that happened in Wisconsin and some other games, including Iowa. So, you know, hopefully Northwestern can just find ways to sustain drives and stay on the field. I think a lot of that stems from, again, the easy passing game, getting the run game going, which they've struggled with. So, yeah, I think, you know, Purdue's going to be a put up or shut up game. I think a lot of people are getting curious on where Jack Lausch is and his development and if that move was the right one. So he certainly has a lot to prove, and so does, you know, Coach Lujan, frankly. I think a lot of fans are a little bit frustrated with how he's called games, whether that's, you know, the fault of Jack or him. You know, it remains to be seen, but I think he's got the heat turned up on him as well. So my hope is both of those guys just cut it loose, Jack and Coach Lujan, and know that if they continue to stall, you know, the pressure's just going to go up for a change. So my hope is that they cut it loose and really just have fun out there.
Last time the Wildcats went on the road and played a team that was coming off a bye, that was at Maryland, and they played very well there against the Terrapins. Now they're going to Purdue, another team which is coming off a bye, a much-needed one for them. They got lost big at home to Oregon, but nothing unusual about that. I think that's right. Going to happen Oregon's to a lot of teams in the Big Ten. And the week before that, they lost by one at Illinois, a 50-49 game in which they went for two to try to win the game and gave up a sack, and that was it. Purdue is 123rd in the nation in total defense, 126th in rushing defense, 127th in pass efficiency defense, 131st in takeaways, and 129th in scoring defense, giving up 38.4 points a game. They've only come up with four takeaways in their first, eight games. The Wildcats, meantime, are 132nd total offense and 123rd in scoring and 132nd. This is the one that is the crusher, Dan. 132nd in third down efficiency, which I know a lot of it is how efficient are you on first and second down, but 25% on third down, and they were 2-for-12 on Saturday against Iowa.
Yeah, those are rough stats on both sides of the ball for Purdue and Northwestern, but we'll see. I mean, I think it's you know, who's going to break, right? The offense or defense? I think, you know, Purdue hung in there with Illinois, had every chance to win that game. So this isn't, you know, it's a 1-6 team that's struggling, but they can still beat top tier teams. So, you know, this isn't one where they're going to roll over, and they certainly see Northwestern as vulnerable and an opportunity to get a win and build some momentum on the back half of the season. I think the defensive statistics are a little bit surprising just because of their coaching staff. Sure. But, you know, I think they'll find ways to improve on that. But again, I just think the offense for Northwestern has to look themselves in the mirror and say, you know, if we can't get it going against this team, you know, we have to make some wholesale changes.
Well, let's bring in a part of that offense now, because he's on the line with us, a veteran tight end in his sixth year out of Houston, Texas, number 87, Thomas Gordon. Thomas, thanks for taking time to be with us today. Dave Ennett with Dan Persa. And, you know, I know things haven't gone lately the way you guys had hoped, but give me your overall perspective on the maturing process for this offense and kind of where you need to take the next step.
First of all, it's great to be on the radio today and talk to you guys about some Wildcat football. I think one of the first things that's important is to understand is that we're in the first year of a new system. Really, like, we have three new coordinators, offense, defense, special teams, and specifically on offense, new system, we have new players, a new quarterback. So obviously the results aren't what we want right now, but what we're trying to do is just have some more continuity with the O-line, the passing game, the running game, and develop some more. So
yeah, there have been moments, Thomas, and I don't know how many times I've said this over the past 5 years, during a broadcast where I've said to Ted Albrecht, you know, when they get the ball to Thomas Gordon, good things tend to happen for this team. And we've seen it at times this year. You know, I kind of go back to the Indiana game. You guys were cooking, certainly, against Maryland. And so give me your perspective. You've seen flashes, right? You've seen what this offense has the potential to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just consistency. I mean, everyone playing on the same page every play. Everyone communicating who the mic is, the ID, setting the protection off that. And that's also big on, like, the run scheme. When I think we're consistent in communicating, I think we play at our best. And I think when our communication and our discipline sometimes breaks down, that's kind of when you see, like, a third and long and stuff like that, like a turnover. Just the bad things that happen that set us back. But I think when we are efficient, kind of like you guys were talking about, first and second down, keep third down short, I think that helps a lot. And a big thing about those games, too, is just chunk plays, like plays of, like, 15 or more yards down the field. A.J. Henning had a big touchdown against Indiana. A.J. and Kurtz had big receptions against Maryland, and I think that really helps boost the offense. So I think we're looking to be more efficient as well as just have some more explosive plays that can move the ball down the field.
Thomas, Dan Persa here. Thanks again for joining us. My opinion is that the tight end room is one of the stronger rooms on the team, obviously with three guys that can affect the game in many ways. What's your mentality within that room, and kind of what are you guys looking to do on the back half of the season?
Our mentality is that, like you said, we have that same confidence in ourselves that we are one of the more veteran rooms, more dynamic rooms, and that we just have to keep playing every down. I mean, like you said, it's just been tough sometimes not getting the ball all the time. But at the end of the day, we have to wait for our number to be called, and when our number is called, we have to execute and make the play. And kind of just like knowing that we will be there when called is like is good to know. And yeah, our mentality is just get better, be more efficient, and need to win some games here.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Obviously, all three of you guys, and there's probably more that are contributing, have a wide skill set, both blocking and catching. Are there any kind of plays that fans can look forward to get you guys more involved, frankly, just taking advantage of the middle of the field and advantage of your size with those mismatches, whether it's a linebacker or a safety going forward?
Yeah, I think it's been a big emphasis. Really, I think since before the Wisconsin game, to kind of break into the middle field a little bit more. As you can see, I think you'll see some more middle of the field routes this week. They play a lot of man coverage, cover one stuff, so it's really up to us to get open. But I think we like our matchups, especially at tight end. So I'm excited to see what we can do, and I think everyone will be excited to see us get the ball down the middle of the field. So,
Thomas, what's been the highlight for you in your career at Northwestern?
I mean, one of the biggest highlights is winning the Vegas Bowl. And then another really cool deal was playing an international game in Ireland where we beat Nebraska, came back down two scores. And I think that was one of the coolest deals. Playing in front of 5 million people, I think that was one of the most watched games in Northwestern history. Starting college football season, just a whole bunch of different factors for that. Vegas Bowl was great. Coming back from 21 against Minnesota, I mean, there's a bunch. But I think those three are kind of the biggest highlights.
Yeah, that was certainly the turnaround for you guys last year when you beat Minnesota, and then the pass to Charlie in overtime to win it. And you're really not that far off your pace from a year ago. I mean, you're one game worse off than you were last year through 8 games. Is that something you guys talk about? Do you think, well, we got to win this to get to a bowl game, or is it just do you really have that mentality? It's just, look, let's just get out there and get a win.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Braun talks about a lot of times. It's just 1-0 every day, 1-0 every week, and you kind of have to take that approach. It gets difficult when you start looking at games ahead. I mean, such as Ohio State, Michigan, Illinois coming up here down the stretch. So we kind of just have to take it one day at a time. And try to win the day, and then ultimately we got to get a win this week. So that's kind of our mentality at the moment.
You know, by my count, and I could be wrong, I could be forgetting a guy or two, but you've played with 11 or 12 different quarterbacks during your time at Northwestern. And, of course, Peyton Ramsey came in 2020, and you guys went to the Big Ten Championship game, won the Citrus Bowl. Last year, Ben Bryan, Brendan Sullivan, and Ryan played, and Jack Lausch played a little bit last year. How tough it is it? Mike Wright started the first two games this year. For you to adjust to a different quarterback, now you've had six games with Jack in there in place of Mike.
It can be difficult, but I think we spent a lot of time in the off season running routes, doing 7-on-7. We spent a lot of time in the film room, so it's not like we just get our first reps with these guys when they get in the game. Like mm-hmm. we have plenty of reps in the off season, hundreds of reps really. With everybody, and so just getting that time to understand what they like, what we like, how we're going to get open, and where we want the ball is huge. So I don't think it's as difficult as you would think, but it's definitely a different layer once you're in the game with someone new and trying to figure out how they play in the game.
Tell me what the tight end room will look like after this year as you get set to end your Northwestern career.
I think we'll be losing Marshall Lang, Duke Olgus, and I. I believe Hunter Wolfing and Lawson Albright are up next. You'll see a lot of them. Cavs fans haven't really seen too much of them yet since we've had a very veteran room and veteran presence. So I think it'll be cool to see those guys have a big year. And I think there's plenty of younger guys, too, that are very good and ready to go as well, like Chris Petrucci, Camp McGee. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, so.
All right, sounds good. What are your plans? What are you looking to do? I know you're focused on the remainder of this season, but down the road, what do you hope to be doing?
After the year, I'm really looking to declare for the draft. I feel like I have a good shot at the moment to either sign a contract or get drafted late. After that, I mean, Dan, I don't know if you remember this, but I actually met down with you at your office about 2 years ago.
Yep, no, I remember.
Talked about real estate, so maybe I'll talk with you again about that. I do like real estate a lot, and we'll see what happens. Just kind of use my Northwestern connections after I'm done playing ball to see what I can do next.
Do you guys want to set up an appointment right now?
He's going to play in the NFL for
yeah.
For
that's a,
years,
that so sounds like a better plan. Yeah,
keep playing football.
There you
that?
Go. Yeah. Hey, Thomas, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us. Good luck Saturday in West Lafayette, and we will certainly be looking to catch up with you again down the road. All right, bud.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys so much. It was awesome being on today.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
There you go, Thomas Gordon, number 87 of the Wildcats. And really, he's had games where he's caught more passes than he did Saturday. Part of a function of a new quarterback who's getting his feet wet. And just as there have been games where they've looked really good, that could happen again this week.
Yeah, I think so. And my question to him about controlling the middle of the field, I just think Coach Lujan and Jack have to get the tight ends a little bit more involved. A lot of their focus has been on AJ and Kurtz and the guys on the outside, but I think those guys are such weapons, and they're just big mismatches. Linebackers can't really cover them, and then they're too big for a nickel safety to cover. So, and I think it's a big target, and the majority of the time really sure hands outside of a couple drops here and there. So I'm hoping they can continue to find the tight ends over the middle of the field, and frankly that helps open up the outside when they really want to attack downfield.
By the way, you curious about all those quarterbacks Thomas has played with?
Yeah, I was when you mentioned it, I forgot about it because he's been there since 2019.
Right, 2019.
Yeah, so that's 10 quarterbacks.
So there were four quarterbacks that, of course, one of them, TJ Green, only got through the first game and got hurt in that opener. But TJ, Hunter Johnson, Aiden Smith, Andrew Marty, Peyton Ramsey, Ryan Helinski, then Brendan Sullivan, Cole Freeman. let's see, who else? Jack Lausch, Ben Bryant, Mike Wright. I think that's everything.
Yeah, 11. That's a lot. I mean, that's not really what you want as a Northwestern fan, right? And I think a lot of people are hoping that Jack is the long-term solution. But I think Northwestern just has to get back to developing quarterbacks that are there for 2, 3, 4 years at a time. And he talked about how it didn't really matter who was in there. But I think having a consistent leader there, a consistent passer, and continuity is really helpful for receivers. I mean, you can adjust to not having that, but it's very helpful to have.
And by the way, Purdue, which has such a great history of turning out quarterbacks, they've been back and forth between two quarterbacks so far this year and haven't said who the starter will be this week. You know, we've seen Hudson Card before, and of course, Aiden O'Connell now is off in the NFL, and you know, they've turned out some great ones.
Yeah, they're talented guys, and I think you know, it'll be interesting to see who trots out there against Northwestern. But I mean, it's always going to be an explosive offense. Again, the defense is a little bit surprising based on the head coaching staff, or the coaching staff and the head coach. So you know, I think the Northwestern defense will be ready. The back half of their defense is one of the stronger points, and regardless of who's there at quarterback, I think they'll be fine. It's just, you know, which Northwestern offense is going to show up, the Indiana Maryland offense or the Washington Wisconsin Iowa offense. So hopefully it's the former.
It will help Bryce Kurtz coming back this week. He missed the game at Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, he's a huge piece, and I think, you know, clearly Jack has a lot of trust in him, so not having him last week, you know, really took away an option. So yeah, I think hopefully Thomas and Bryce and the rest of the guys can step up and make some big plays for him.
All right, before we adjourn here, we got to get Super Joe's predictions. Let's get to them now.
Prediction: to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's predictions. Prediction.
Another week, another win. Nobody's impressed, so let's get back to work. Ohio State is heading to Happy Valley to take on Penn State, and they're not alone. ESPN's College Game Day and Fox's Big Noon Kickoff will be on campus as well. Parking will not be fun on Saturday. Say what you will about conference realignment, but the matchup between the Buckeyes and Nittany Lions will be the fourth time this season that teams inside the AP Top 5 have squared off. Hopefully the coaches have their guys ready to go. A note from ESPN's Stats and Info said Ohio State's Ryan Day is 0-5 against teams that are 7-0 or better. Meanwhile, James Franklin has just one win in 13 opportunities against teams ranked in the top five. The lone victory came at home against Ohio State in 2016. It's a bummer Saturday's game won't be under the lights like the one 8 years ago was. The pick of the week, however, does come from a night game. Fresh off a come-from-behind victory over LSU, the Aggies of Texas A&M travel to Columbia, South Carolina for a date with the Gamecocks at 6:30 on ABC. Texas A&M has been riding a quarterback carousel all year long. Indecision against a good defense could lead to trouble, especially one that applies pressure the way South Carolina does. They're also rested and coming off a bye. South Carolina might win outright, but let's take the three to be safe. Back to you guys.
All right, Super Joe, thanks. Yeah, that stat on James Franklin is one that's sort of hanging over him going into this game.
Yeah, it's a rough one. You know, I think, you know, the majority of the time, those are Michigan or Ohio State teams that are tough to beat wherever they are. But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest gripe with him is he hasn't been able to win the big game outside of the Big Ten Championship in 2016. So, you know, I think it'll be a good game. It's interesting. The Ohio State quarterback grew up actually pretty close to me and is a Penn State, wanted to go there, told he wasn't good enough. So I think you heard him kind of chirping in the media that we'll find out if I was good enough or not. So I'm obviously very familiar with a storyline like that. So I think it'll just be a fun game to watch.
Another good game this week. The Wildcats' last two opponents going head-to-head in Iowa City under the lights with the Hawkeyes and the Wisconsin Badgers. And that was a big win for Penn State at Madison. They lost Drew Aller, their quarterback. Bo Prabula comes in off the bench and guides them to the win. I thought it was a really impressive victory for Penn State.
Agreed, yeah. Madison's a tough place to win, especially at night. So winning there with a backup quarterback's a huge feat.
And Indiana putting their unbeaten record on the line this week with a game at Michigan State. Michigan State, that's a tough out.
Well.
They're playing very well. So some good games on this weekend, and the Wildcats on their way to West Lafayette to take on the Purdue Boilermakers at Ross-Ade Stadium. It is an 11 a.m. kick Central Time, noon in West Lafayette, and we will have the game for you at 10:30 Saturday over on ESPN 1000 and, of course, on WGNRadio.com and the Varsity Network app. And certainly hope that you will join us for that. Many thanks to Thomas Gordon for joining us today on Collegiately Speaking. Thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich, our engineer, Dan Long. And Dan, we'll talk to you next week, all right?
Hopefully talking about a win. We'll see.
All right. I'm Dave Ennett. That's Dan Persa. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time.